exceptions, as I just said, exceptions is one of those things that's optional. And the first example here is a predefined set of exceptions. Okay? So, too many rows is a predefined exception. No data found is a predefined exception. And then others is just, I want to tell people something went wrong, and it says undefined error occurred is what I'll put out. Okay? So if you go back up, it says that some of the predefined Oracle errors are cursor already open. So if you try to open a cursor that's already open, duplicate value on an index, invalid cursor, and so forth. Those are all predefined errors, okay, that Oracle has come up with. And so those are errors that you can use, those messages you can use, okay? And if you go online and look for predefined Oracle errors, I would guess that you're going to get a list, but let's try it. Predefined Oracle exceptions, okay? So predefined Oracle exceptions, and where can I find a complete list of predefined Oracle? That sounds good. Okay, so there's one list, and you can go and look for these lists of things. And notice that when you come up with these lists, it also comes up with the Oracle ID number that is associated with those lists. So you know when you run something and you have a problem, you get an Oracle number. If you go in here, they're telling you the name that they have associated with a particular Oracle error. Okay, so if that's the error that you're concerned about, if you're getting that a lot, you can catch the errors. Okay, so that gives you at least partial list. The date on that said 2009, so that is clearly out of date, in the sense that there's probably more. Okay, so PLSQL allows the programmer to build in an exception handler to deal with exceptions that occur within the block. Exceptions may be the Oracle errors that happen automatically or where the programmer raises an exception explicitly through the use of the raise. The exception can be trapped by the handler, meaning the exception happens somewhere in the beginning, will be trapped or handled in the exception. And there are three types of exceptions: predefined Oracle errors, Oracle errors that are not predefined that can be handled in the block, and user-defined errors. Okay, so those are the three kinds. So if you go down here on this one, I wanted to look at predefined errors. So I said, when too many rows, and I just put out a line. Okay, but you can do any kind of processing you want. You can have processing where you do a calculation. You can have processing where you do whatever you want to do. I just put out a line to tell the people that there was an error. Okay, so I've got when too many rows, then I put out one line. When no data found, I put out a different error. And then others, I put out an undefined error occurred and just basically put out my own message on it. But that means that things won't crash, that it will go down and will handle those particular errors by putting out that line. So I said in this one, select ID number year goal into VID number V year goal, where ID number is greater than 777. Okay? So that would end up returning multiples, I believe. okay, or it has the potential of returning number multiples. Because I said when the ID is greater than 777, so if I had a bunch of numbers after that, it would return a bunch, and I don't have a cursor going on here, so I can't handle a bunch of records. So that would be the error of too many rows. Okay. And then I have one that says no data was found. So I can do that. So here I came down and I've got that not a valid ID. Okay, so this one gave me the not a valid ID. So when I entered some data, I'm getting the not a valid ID, so no data was found. So if I didn't have anything greater than 777, I'm going to get the no data found. Okay? So, and I don't think I do have anything greater than ID number 777 in any of the databases I have, database tables that I have. So that is going to go in and say where ID is greater than 777, it didn't find it. And so it puts out the record that says not a valid ID number. Okay. And here I didn't have the user inputting anything. I just hard-coded it here. Okay. So it is coming out with the not a valid ID. If I had a bunch of things greater than this, it would have come out with the multiple rows meet criteria. Okay. And that is an error when there isn't a cursor. Okay, I have to handle multiple rows using a cursor. Okay, so this one is real easy to code because they've given you the predefined errors. You just take whatever predefined errors you want to be handling and you put them in down there. And so this one is a real easy one to find. Okay, this one I have multiple rows meeting the criteria because I changed the hard coding to say less than 777, and so I have multiple rows that meet the criteria, and so I'm getting the error message, multiple rows meet criteria. Okay. Now, you can go and look up Oracle errors. So if I go in here, and this is error number. So if I take ORA-02291 and just put that in, it comes back with information about that error. So I just typed in the Oracle error, and it does its thing and comes back with multiple things. Okay. So there was this Oracle integrity constraint. A foreign key has no matching primary key to value and so forth. So that's one explanation of it. And that's a fairly good site, I think. Okay, so here is the error. You tried to reference a table using a unique or primary key, but the columns you listed did not match the primary key, or a primary key does not exist, or something like that. So it basically is an evolving of the primary key. So whenever you get an Oracle error, you can go and look up and get some clues about what that Oracle error meant. So you go back here, and this is how you set that up. Okay, so I set up E invalid order number. That was me setting it up. And it was an exception.
and then you put in pragma exception INT, and then you put here invalid order number, and it's 2291. Eliminate the leading zeros, although you can put those in as well.
So that is telling me when that error occurs. And I've given that error a name. This time it's me that gave it the name, and that's the name. So when I come down here, there it is, and I tell it that there's a foreign key problem, no order number on audits. Okay? So I have a foreign key problem that I can't put that in. Okay, so I had, again, hard-coded the data, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 1, 2, 1, 2, and 100, and it's coming back and telling me that it can't do that. Okay. So I anticipated this might be a problem. I set up an error for it up here because I anticipated it might be a problem. Okay, so I get it set up, I give it a name, I put the word exception, and then I write the line pragma exception INIT, put the name of it in it again, and tell us that it is error 2291. Okay? And then, if that error occurs, I get the message that I put out there. Okay? And the when others then is a good thing to put in there. And you'll see in a minute how you can actually get it to give you more information on that. Okay, now this one is my error that I decided to put in. The other two are Oracle errors. This is a programmer decided about it. I said, let's assume I don't want to allow the number ordered to be greater than 200. Okay? So I don't want the number ordered to be greater than 200. So I made up a name for that. E number ordered over 200 is an exception. Okay, so I've told it that that is the name of one of the exceptions that I'm going to use. Then I get into saying, if the V number audit is greater than 200, then raise. And that tells it, when I say raise, that says go and handle the error with that name. Put out the message that has the error that matches that name. So I can do a lot of these. I can have a whole slew of errors that I want to check before I do the insert because I'm inserting a record. So if I want to validate that record like crazy, I can do it here. And I can get up the errors that that happen. So then I go down and I put in my own message for this, the number ordered over 200, and I put in my message for that. Okay, so it's not going to do the insert if that happens, which is what I want. I want to prevent the insert from happening. So this will catch the insert before the insert is done, rather, catch the error before the insert is done. Okay. So those are the errors that I can put in on this. Okay. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is you can get undefined errors. Okay, so if on the other, if I want to try to get more specific, I can tell it that code that I wanted to use to give me a message. Okay, so if I, on others, I want to see the error code, I can tell it to put out the error code. And let me get that. Okay, so what I've got there is it will show me the error code. Okay,
So I set up, and these are the two things that have the information about the error, is the SQL code and the SQL error message. So I then said, if other occurs, I want to put out the best the word undefined error, and then I want to put out the error code. And then I want to put out the error message. And so when I found that error, it comes up with my message, undefined error 2291, and then it puts out the fact that that was an integrity constraint, error key not found, etc.
That's the same 2291 that I used before. Okay, but this is the other error, and I can have it
specifically show the code in the message the way it would if I had left it alone and hadn't put anything in there. So I can go get the error code and the error message and show those.
And that's what I did here. Okay. So essentially, exceptions let me capture errors and handle them the way I want to, as opposed to handling them the way Oracle would have handled them. Okay, so I get to take control of the errors and say, when this error occurs, this is what I want to have happen. And then I get to put in that when other, and the when other will show me the code, show me the message, and then just the way Oracle would have. Okay, but I've handled it as opposed to crashing. Questions? So we had the three kinds. We have the ones that Oracle basically feels are so common that they give it to you with a predefined name. And that is just not going up. So they give it to you with a predefined name. Others, you have to code for a particular code, a particular error code, although you can throw in the other and get the codes to come out. So any one of these, along with the other, I can put in the specifics about what the code is and what the message is. Okay. So it's basically a way for programmers to take control of the errors. Questions? Okay. Then the next one I want to go back and look at is I want to start going through some of the things that I skipped.
The things that we have left to do are procedures, functions, and triggers. And those are the three things that we'll have left to do. So,
next week we only have class on the 21st. And then we have basically two weeks of classes after that. When does when are finals starting? So we have 3 weeks of class actually after that.
I think somewhere around the 14th.
The 14th is finals. Okay, so if the 14th is finals, just want to run through that a minute.
I screwed 18th to the 22nd.
18th through the 22nd. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. 18th through the 22nd. Okay, so that means that week I will not have classes the week before. Okay, I always make the last week class-free, and we're fine for that. I never make the promise, but I try. So the week of the 11th, we will have open, and that will be just basically working on the final, working on getting caught up, all of that sort of stuff. So we have 2 weeks after Thanksgiving, and I think actually we'll end up with a day at the end procedures, function, and triggers. And I was going to also look at arrays. I think you asked about arrays. So I'm going to look at arrays. Somebody did. I'm going to look at arrays that week, too. So, that's where we stand. So now we're going to go back to introduction to SQL, and the last thing I didn't go over, nested blocks. Okay?
You can put a, basically a program within a program and have, or a paragraph within a paragraph, however you want to look at it. But you can have inner and outer.
So what I've got here is an example. Okay, so I defined and said, okay, B first is a number that's going to be T212.
I've got a B message, and then I've got an O message, O answer. Then I have an inner declare, and I put B first again, B message again, and then I've got in message and in answer.
Okay? So, this is like other languages, where if you define something on the outer level, it's available throughout the program. If you define it on the inner level, then it is available only to that inner portion, only to the procedure. Okay? And you're all nodding your heads, so that's good. That means it makes sense. Okay, so I started out here, and I said V first number and V message are outer defined. And out message and out answer, I'm going to put something in.
So I came down here, and I said take V message, which is outer defined, and put it in out message. And take V first, multiply it by 2, and put it in out answer.
Okay. And then I there is the output, and I think I can do just the beginning. Okay. So on the putting it out, I said here, DBMS output line, put out the message before in the define.
And you can see that message coming out there, basically to tell where I am. And then I said, okay, now put out a line that has V first, which would be 212, V message, which would be outer define, out message, which is the same as V message, so it's out defined. And then out answer, which is V first times 2, so it would be 424.
Okay, so those things are the things that come out. And then I went and dropped into the inner one. And the inner one starts out with V first is 555. And V message is inner defined. And then I did the same thing. I took and said, all right, inside here I'm going to be, and have V message and put it in the in message. Okay. Now I've got two things defined as V message. And so it is the local one that is going to win. So I said, put out a message that says inner loop showing inner. And after that, I put out V first, which is 555.
Okay, so I took the local one. The local one is overriding the other one. So when I'm inside, I'm using the local one. So I said V first, which is defined as 555. Inner define, and then I had in answer is multiplying it by 2, so I've got the by 2. Okay.
And then I put out inner loop showing outer, and I put out the outer information. So I put out message and out answer. Because out message and out answer don't have any definition internally, locally, so they go to the global ones. And they put out the global, okay, the outside ones. If they had had a conflict, and that's what I was showing here, B first got the 555, because that's what's in the inner. The outer has it at 212 or something like that, but that's not showing. But out message and out answer are not defined in the inner, they're just defined in the outer, so it goes back to the outer and gets those. Okay, because the stuff in the outer is available, but if I have a conflict of names, then the local will win. The one that's closest will win. Okay. And then I ended the inner and I went back to showing things using only the outer. And when I have ended the inner, then in message and in answer are no longer available to me. And B first and B message are going to be the outer versions of those, because I am no longer have access to the things that are local. I'm back to the outer. So when I write those out, you can see the 212 and the 424 coming out, as opposed to the 555, which is so you can nest one level of processing inside another. The one that I think, however, is used most often is procedures and functions, which we're going to look at. And procedures and functions allow you, instead of having it nested inside, allow you to go out and get a separate thing that has the work that you want to do, and go out and perform that procedure and return something, or go out and perform that function and return something. And those are used more often, at least from what I've seen, than the nesting is. Okay, but the nesting allows you to go in and do a separate function within the original. Okay? And note the note at the bottom that says, if I try to show in message and in answer here, it crashes. Okay, because they're not available. The outer does not know about in answer and in message. Just doesn't know about them. So it can't see them. Questions? Not what I meant to do. I wanted to take a picture. Okay, the next handout I am really leaving to you. It's the same thing as this one, but it is not possible to do up on the board very clearly. So if you have any problems with understanding what I went through on the other one, this is more clarification, and you can go and look at that. Okay, so there's more examples of inner-outer procedures. You can go and look at it. Okay. If statements, I think we did okay. And I think data manipulation is the next place. And no, I think we did that too. If anybody remembers anything I skipped that I'm not remembering, let me know. I think that one was okay. That was using sequence, so I created a sequence, and then I can use that if I, and again, the reason for that is that if you have multiple people accessing, you can get the next sequential number for an invoice or something like that. Okay, records and tables. Okay. Records and tables are user-defined composite types that can be defined by the programmer. The record type allows the definition of a type that consists of specified fields. Once the type has been defined, you can then define a specific name for the type as it's being used, a variable name that references the type. The following PLSQL coding examples show some use of type as record. Okay, in this example, a record donor is the variable name, that should have said. I write dame a lot for name, but D and N close? No, nowhere near, but anyway. For the type record donor, which is defined as having three fields, record ID, record name, record year gold. Notice in the first one I name the fields and into. Okay, and in the second I use the variable name. So let's look at it. I have an accept that takes in an ID, and I said declare record donor is a rec type. Record donor is a record. Okay, so I've declared my record, so I know what the record looks like. And a record has a record ID, a record name, and a record year gold. And then I come down here and say a record donor is part of rec donor. Declares a variable of the defined type. Okay, so what that means is I set up type record donor. And to refer to an individual one of those, I refer to a rec donor. Okay, so the name of the record is rec donor. But as I'm using it, I'm going to want to refer to the specific one, and so I'm referring to a rec donor. Okay, so I select ID, name, year, goal into a record donor dot record ID. A record donor dot record name, a record donor dot record year gold. Okay. From new donor, where I've got a specific ID, because notice I don't have a cursor at this point. So it is taking in a specific record, and then it's inserting that into a new table that I have, and so it's saying, go to a record donor and take its record ID. Go to a record donor and take its record name. The basic way that this is working is instead of setting up the individual fields, which I've done before, and just putting it in the individual fields, I've told it that this is what a record looks like. Okay? And by telling it this is what a record looks like, maybe that gives you a better idea of what the data is. I'm not altogether convinced this is totally, it seems like it's more writing than the other way, but anyway. If you want to use it, and it's totally up to you, you are defining a record, defining the fields on the record, and saying when I refer to the record, I will call it a record number. And that declares a variable of the defined type. So it declares what I am going to refer to it as. So down in the select, I refer to a record donor and then refer to the parts. And in the insert, I do the same thing. Now the next example of it does a little bit less, because I can select it, and this makes it a little bit better. I can select it into a record donor. So I said bringing the ID, name, year, gold into a record donor. And since a record donor is of the record donor type, then I will put those things into record ID, record name and record year goal. When I do the insert, however, I have to get into the specifics.
Actually, I meant to try that and see if it changed that, whether I could do the insert and just put that as a record donor. But I know I couldn't do it in the past. And there are certain things that I mean to try periodically, and I didn't try that. So if somebody wants to, they can. But on the select, I was able to do it. Actually, let's try that. Does anybody have, what type of data is this? Some donor. Okay, if I were, there I am. I probably should go into PuTTY. I have a better chance of finding things. You embarrassed me into using PuTTY. I think it's going to open with the right colors. Yep. Anybody remember what that was called, just in case I already have it? ATSD2. Yeah, I do have it. So if I come in here and what do I want to try? Well, let's try a rec donor first. I don't think I'm going to get away with that, but we can try it. No, not enough values. SQL statement is ignored. So it did not like that. Insert into line 8, not enough values. So I can't get away with doing that. Okay, the other thing that I can try there is if I come up here and instead of that, I don't think I can do this either. But if I try rec ID, comma, rec name, comma, rec year goal, not allowed here. So neither time can I do that. So I have to go back and put in the full name in front of it. Anybody figured out how you can get this to go down without doing it one piece at a time? It would be nice.
that was the error. So this is what I needed to have, is I need to write out the whole thing. It didn't let me get away with doing it the other way. Okay. And if I manage to spell everything correctly, this should go back to working. And it was successfully completed. And then if I go and look at some donor, I've got it in there. Okay, so that was the one record that I selected, and I've now got it in some donor. So this is just really offering you alternative ways of doing things. Now, you can also use RowType, and this is kind of interesting. The following code uses RowType in a similar way that we've used type. In this case, we're simply declaring the variable vDonor as having the same layout and types as the row in the sumDonor table. RowType is useful because it allows the underlying database to be modified without having to go in and change the PLSQL code. So that really is neat, because remember I said that the advantage of type was if you went in and changed the size of something, then, well, RowType expands that, so that it is taking the type of the record that is in a particular table. Okay. So that is just, I think, a really neat thing. Some of these other things that I'm looking at. So I can say there, vDonor, okay, some donor row type. So vDonor is defined as whatever the row type is on some donor. Okay. Play with that a minute. Go in and try that with something that you've got. Remember, you can paste it in with a right click of the mouse, which I always forget. And let's change it. Okay. Okay, I just made a new table that I'm calling New Sundona that has an ID, name, state, and year gold. So I made 4 records in that. Okay. So now what I want to do, and hopefully you're playing with this as well. So I'm trying to modify this, and we'll see how I do. Okay, I'm getting V state must be declared. Did anybody get it working?
I did.
With a new field? I went in and changed and added state.
I went in and I changed some donor and I called it new some donor because I didn't want to mess up some donor.
And I put in a field called state. And then I'm going to ATSD. the 4A is what I called it. And that's what I did wrong. I put V state there. Okay, so I went in and I changed the files. And from SumDonut, and I probably should have changed SumDonut, but I just decided to call it New SumDonut when I was doing it. Unknown set option accept. What? I don't know about you, but every once in a while it doesn't move something down to the next line. It puts it on the same line. And you have to, that was where I was complaining about accept because it was down there. So you have to move that. And the procedure was successfully completed. So I was able to go in and with RowType go in and change it. So now if I go in again with new row type, so I'm going to, I can go in and add another field to it and go ahead and change it. So that worked. Okay, so the row type is able to pick up because I, you know, now have state is in there, but then I had to go down and modify it, obviously, and say I also wanted to select state, and then when I wrote it out, I had to say that I wanted to write out state. Okay, so when I look at what I've got now, if I look at it, it's edit ATSD4A. Hello. Okay, so that's what I had to turn it into. I had to add, I changed it to New SumDonut, but then I had to add state, and I had to add vdonut.state down here, but it still had the row description correct. Okay? So it knew what I was doing with the row description by changing that. And this was working as well as the other one was. Actually, I shouldn't close it. I just bring it down. Okay, so I went through and did basically the same things. And then we have looked at tables all over. And I honestly think that the tables that we looked in and the cursor were a better example. These are the examples that we went through when I was taking the course. But I'm looking for, does anybody remember where I had table? It was in another set of examples, I think. Yes. This is a better example of how to use table, which is why I went on to curses and then went back. The other one has kind of play-around stuff that they did in the course. But here I'm saying type is key manager tables, a table of employee managers. Okay, so I have set up the table. I'm saying that it is indexed by binary. And we went ahead and we used this table in a practical way. Okay, the other one is not really terribly practical. when we use this in a practical way to set up a table, okay, which is similar to an array, but we will look at arrays, but it's a table is similar to arrays, okay, and I'm having this a table of manager IDs. So I just set up a table of manager IDs, and down below I am putting something into that table. So when I put something into the table has the name Team Manager Table, but as I'm processing with it, I use the manager ID table, which is the name of the current record. So I am using that, and when I come down and want to add to it, I say, take the manager ID and compare it to what is the last thing in the table. Okay, the loop count is pointing to. And when I want to check it, I can use count, and basically that's a good example of using table. Okay, and when I want to add something to the table, I am simply saying that same name, vManager ID table, and the place I want to put it in is count plus one, which means the next slot, and what I've got to put in there is the vManager ID. So I want to put the manager ID into the table in the next slot. Okay, so it's like an array. And we, as I said, I will look at arrays. It's actually the array. But I'm putting it into the next slot in the table. And that's what we did with that program. Okay. The examples back here are more just... showing how you can manipulate tables. Okay, so I've got a couple of tables there, and then they go down and show you a little bit about how I can put things into the table. So I can say, I want to put snow shoveling in as the first element of the table, I want to put trowel in as the eighth element, and I can add things to the table by just using an index. And this is a keyed index. So if I put in 1, 8, and 4, okay, the second first table would contain, those are the keys. So the index I use becomes the keys. And there is nothing in 2 through 7. I just go from 1 to 8, sorry, result 4. So it is just putting in the table, and the key is the number that I put it in with. So when I was doing it, I was doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so it would be sequential. But in this case, they put it in out of sequence, and it works. And then they point out to you that you can count, which we just saw in that last one. You can use a count with a table. You can delete a particular row on a table. You can check to see if a row exists. We can look at the first, we can look at the last, we can look at the next, and we can look at the prior. So we can move around the table using all of those things. Okay, so I put in a bunch here, and then I got a count and all of that kind of stuff. And then I've got one down here where I check to see if something exists. Okay. So I am looking at the table record that I defined, and I'm asking if something exists. Okay. And putting out a message. And then I can, as I said, move forward, backward, and all that good stuff. So this one, I jumped all around. And I said, give me the count, now give me the first and show me the first, now do the next, show me the next, now back up and show me the prior, and I just ran through so that you see them working, okay? and the output from that is down below where I'm showing you the next record is, the prior record is, the last record is, and just jumping around in the table. So those are kind of nice that I can go on and ask about the next, or I can ask about the prior. And that was another one where I did that. Okay. I think that catches us up. If I skip something, let me know at some point. So we will start looking at procedures and functions. And you may end up having some extra time the week before, which everybody can obviously use. So we'll see where we are. But you definitely will have the week before finals with no classes. I'll be here and we'll have labs. But I won't be teaching anything. Okay, we're done.